the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Olivia Newton-John was the song I needed to hear today. I just didn't know
really?
It until I started dancing and felt like I needed to put on leg warmers. 8:11 here on
really?
News.
Really? Because I told you before I played this song, I was like, you might not like it.
No, that's fine. John never tells me anything in advance. I don't tell him anything in advance either. We surprise each other every morning, all morning long. So.
Oh, yes.
Especially with the frivolous topic. All right, 437-1620. That is my phone number if you want to weigh in on anything. Just one quick thought about these roundups with ICE. And, you know, Grace McCaffrey talking about how, you know, people have IDs and they're being treated as if the IDs are fake. It is a problem. If you are Hispanic and you are in the country legally or you are a citizen, whether native-born or naturalized, and you're working at a job, you should not have to fear getting arrested for being brown. I mean, we can start with that, right? Like, the fact that you happen to look somewhat like a class of people that the federal government has decided to actively expel from the country because they're here illegally, you should not be treated like the criminal. You should not be treated like a potential deportee. You should not be treated like an illegal immigrant. That's the reason that we are against things like racial profiling, because you're treating innocent people like they're guilty people. You know, driving while black or walking while black or whatever, right? You know, that's bad. You can't stop and frisk people because they look a certain way. Nor should you be detaining people for potential deportation because they have a certain kind of skin tone. Like, that's bad. That's really bad. And if they have documentation that proves that they're here legally, like real ID, that for sure should be adequate. So there are real problems in this process. Do I think that the government is justified in trying to get rid of people who are here illegally? They're justified. I'm not sure that I always agree, honestly, because I've long believed that we ought to be letting more people in who are going to be productive for our country. And if people came here illegally, which I do not love, but if they're being productive members of our society and they're contributing and they're not draining resources, you know, it's honestly, it's hard to get that worked up about that. Criminals, absolutely. I understand also the people who obey the rules and follow the rules and wait in line and come here and takes 10 years for the process, that you are unfairly disadvantaging them compared to this person. I get that. But just as a net where we are kind of thing, if somebody's in the country and being productive and working a job and obeying the laws, I mean, I'm glad they're here. I'm glad for anybody who's a productive, even non-citizen, right? But this, you know, if it's a matter of we have probable cause, like it's like the Venezuelan drug boats thing. Do you have evidence that these people are here illegally? Because if you have the evidence, like by name, then okay, fine. And, you know, if you find 50 and in the process, you know, one person who is here legally and 49 are here illegally and you gather all 50 together and then you release the one, I don't really mind that either. It's net good. But just generally speaking, you know, I mean, if it's like one illegal and 11 regulars, well, that's bad. And if it's 11 illegals and one regular, maybe that's not so bad. But the person who just happens to be Hispanic and goes to work shouldn't fear getting arrested that day because they happen to be Hispanic, right? I mean, that's a starting point. If that's not a starting point, I'm not sure what conversation we have about all this. 8:14 here on News Radio. Sorry, 8:15 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. If you're on Davis Highway southbound headed toward Olive Road, you're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area due to an earlier accident. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 actually look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
This week is yet another great chance to celebrate, as every remembrance is actually a good story for the cause of this, our first Disunited Holy Church of Wokeness Congregational. First, we want to celebrate the fast food restaurant chain Long John Silver's, who last week announced they're joining the growing chorus of woke allies in the food service industry by embarking on what can only be described as a brand-destroying image makeover that nobody asked for or understands. Following in the missteps of Cracker Barrel, who ultimately abandoned their disastrous logo chain and restaurant interior makeovers, and Chili's, who sadly and suddenly changed their signature tortilla chips and eliminated their fan-favorite skillet queso, Long John's has now dropped its golden fish icon, replacing it with a golden chicken, both on its restaurant exteriors and on its actual logo. In addition, the logo now contains the words chicken and seafood below the giant gold clucker. In a press release, LJS says that although they are widely known for their yummy battered deep-fried fish planks, the redesign is intended to highlight the chain's chicken planks, what they call their best-kept secret. Worried about potential misunderstandings, the release also reassured customers that this will not mean any change at all in the menu or the availability of their more well-known fish products. They simply want to raise awareness about the chicken. Well, we love this. Obviously, we are always on board with change for the sake of change, especially when it upsets long-established traditions, brands, or vocabulary. As the 14th Revised Doctrine of Wokeness reminds us, the single biggest barrier to realizing the Futuretopia is a population's habit of clinging to the past. Therefore, normalizing the eradication of traditions and separating people from attachments to long-standing practices is one of the four key tools of the revolution. Yes, changing the logo of a fast food restaurant may seem insignificant next to the power of the woke, but every little incremental bit helps. And of course, what could possibly be more refreshing to the people of the holy acronym string than a restaurant embracing transmenuism? If a restaurant once known for its fast fish now wants to identify as a place to get fast chicken, we're with you. Just tell us what deep-fried pronouns you want us to use, and we will affirm your new cuisine identity. Just because you were identified as fish at your founding does not mean you should be forever limited by such cis culinary restrictions. Become trans-substance, Long John Silver's. We see you as the go-both-ways fried fish and fried chicken establishment you've always been, the AC/DC of battered non-beef meat planks. This isn't some experiment in the novelty of cross-frying your food. It's who you really are, and we love it. So let your chicken-centric freak flag fly and tell all the world that even though you were named after a famous fictional pirate in Robert Louis Stevenson's classic work Treasure Island, there's no reason to think that in his later years, the one-legged, parrot-carrying pirate who ate fish his entire professional career didn't settle down on some deserted island to enjoy his booty and raise chickens. So here's to you, Long John Silvers, for reminding us that it's never too late to ruin a brand, and that if a scurvy pirate can embrace a life of agrarian fowl farming in his retirement, surely we can all become something new in our own lives. Keep walking those fish and chicken planks out to us and keep giving us those free crumbles of delicious fried batter. We're with you and your new identity. Bagawk! Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Amazon Prime Video, our dearly beloved ally in the culture wars, for this week's decision to sanitize their entire line of James Bond movie thumbnails by digitally editing out the pistol so frequently brandished by whichever star is portraying Ian Fleming's famous British spy. Whether it's Sean Connery and Dr. No, no longer menacingly cradling the traditional Walther PPK in his arms folded pose, or Pierce Brosnan holding neither gun nor silencer in his hand by his shoulder for GoldenEye, or giving Roger Moore clownishly long arms to remove the 44 Magnum from the frame of the View to a Kill photo, or simply having Daniel Craig's hand cut off so you cannot see the pistol he's carrying in the shot from Spectre. Your digital revisionists have nearly outdone themselves this time. Boldly stepping down the path first taken by the history changers of the Star Wars remaster when they transferred the cantina encounter between Han Solo and Greedo to make Han act in self-defense rather than the original Han-fired first act of alien murder, this effort to reshape our images in a way that is gradually freed from the tyranny of violence is very well intended. There's nothing but pride from us in looking at these former posters of gun-toting spies who now look like slightly too old for the part models from an Abercrombie and Fitch catalog. Now, yes, we did notice that some fans of the franchise complained about the edits, and after the massive cultural pushback, Amazon abandoned the newly corrected stills and replaced them with other pictures from the movies, thankfully also ones that are free from the evil fire stick that frightens us by day and haunts our dreams by night. So well done for sticking to your non-guns. But we do note how much more work needs to still be done. Certainly it's a good first step to remove the gun from these photos, thus protecting impressionable young children who have surely never seen violence of any kind prior to seeing these pictures on your service, but why stop there? Wouldn't it be better to revise the entire opening sequences to all the James Bond movies, changing the highly gun-saturated imagery with something safer, such as perhaps floating images of paperback books, or recycling tote bags, or, if the sequence allows it, the open hands of friendship? And of course, we realize that the James Bond movies themselves involve many, many, many scenes with shooting and death and all sorts of non-traditional weaponry designed by that devilish fiend Q. But each and every one of these could certainly be edited out so that the entire series of movies can finally be safe for gun-fearing populations like the one we're trying to cultivate. Instead of using his Walther death iron, perhaps 007 can find clever ways to use active listening to disable his opponents. Maybe instead of resorting to violence, force, like the premier example of toxic masculinity he's always been, a newly woke Bond can bring the elements of Spectre to heel with sound reasoning and an offer to engage in some therapeutic finger painting or macrame. We can certainly wonder whether a solid dose of group therapy might not gently coax a Bond nemesis back to the light side of the Force. Who can say whether Dr. No or Ernst Blofeld or Le Chiffre or Auric Goldfinger weren't merely misunderstood geniuses simply acting out of their childhood abandonment and neglect issues and might not simply be gently cajoled into using their evil genius abilities for the greater good instead of for personal greed and glory? All it might have taken was a little shaken, not stirred tenderness rather than gunplay to accomplish the mission of reconciliation, the cause of truth, justice, and the UK way. So way to go, Amazon Prime Video. You really did a service to the movie streaming universe with your ideological sanitization efforts. We applaud you for noting the internet immorality of giving a person a license to kill and reducing their identity to a number in the process. And we hereby validate your unrestricted license to edit. Truly the work of woke is never done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our most sincere honor, the high exalted tambourine of virtue with four triple braided rainbow hemp tassels this week goes to none other than our favorite citizen surveilling search tool, Google. As all of you know, we are in an existential war to save our planet from ourselves as our carbon belching species is literally breathing itself to death with dangerous greenhouse gases. Of course, one of the most foul contributors to this problem is the unholy methane gas that comes from animal waste and sewage sludge. Yes, cow, pig, horse, chicken, and human excrement are some of the most dangerous substances on Earth, boiling our dear mother Gaia alive incrementally like the proverbial frog in the kettle. But now Google is joining an initiative to solve the problem. They're burying the poop! Google just inked a deal with innovative Kansas-based startup Vaulted Deep to inject 50,000 tons of animal excrement 1,000 feet below the surface of the Earth, neatly sequestering its carbon poisoning potential away from the actual atmosphere, safely thwarting the methane-emitting gas from killing us all. By securing the manure deep underground where it cannot pollute the water supply or outgas methane to ruin the climate, Vaulted Deep is allowing Google to expiate all of its most serious carbon sins incurred by the massive energy use at its server farms, artificial intelligence networks, and electric scooter charging stations. Google is now following in the carbon-free footprints of Microsoft, which also purchased a large tranche of these carbon indulgences earlier this year. All we can say is wow. Just wow. We're so impressed with the level of devotion to our planet shown by these massive energy hogs. At this point, our only suggestions have to do with branding, since names matter so dearly. Our bellies runneth over with suggestions for the names of this flatulence-flummoxing facility. Should it be called the Deep Earth Excrement Retention Complex, or DERC for short? A bit technical, but clear. Perhaps the Cow Paddy Underground Depository, or CPUD. The manure mine occurred to us, but that implies we're extracting rather than injecting. In the end, we think the best name is the simplest. The Dookie Dome. Simple, to the point, geometrically elegant. Of course, we think that most of the other elements of the process deserve appropriate names as well, so the waste can be transported from the farm to the lift station by means of the Pucky Buggy, and then dropped down the Poot Chute to its final resting place in the Dookie Dome. We did consider going with Crap Chute, but we thought the homophone would be too confusing. So we stand here in pleasantly impressed awe at the thorough efforts to save us all from the dungpocalypse. As our familiar chant reminds us, two cows enter, methane never leaves. Two cows enter, methane never leaves. So good for you, Google. We salute you and your Dookie Dome. Why? Because as the high priest of wokeness himself, Larry Downs Jr., reminds us, fecal matters. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
827, News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That Dookie Dome, it still gets me. All right, let's see here.
We've got Pucky Buggy.
Yes. Still dealing with the earlier accident that happened on University Parkway and Davis Highway. That's Davis Highway going southbound. Roadway is clear, but I'm still seeing some delays in that area. Not as bad as it was before. But still seeing them. I-10, I-110 are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, especially for the first time, you know, I think back to when we first bought a house and how much we learned and didn't learn that we didn't know that we learned in subsequent purchases. But having a great real estate agent the first time you buy a house is a tremendous value that you will not even realize how much of a benefit it is. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are just great at this. Man, I wish I could go back in time and have bought our first home with somebody like her because she's great. She's a nerd about real estate. She admits it. She loves learning and getting all the information and having the latest up-to-date techniques on everything in terms of getting your home to sell for the best price or to help you buy a home for the best price. So give her a call and ask her what she can do for you. She doesn't mind. She likes that. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. A federal judge has ruled has blocked President Trump's deployment of National Guard troops to Chicago. The order temporarily blocks the president from federalizing and deploying the National Guard in Illinois. Meanwhile, in Oregon, a lower court ruling has blocked the Guard from operating in Portland temporarily. Senators have left Washington, D.C. with no agreement to end the government shutdown. Bills from both parties denied yesterday. The seventh time now both measures have been turned away. The Senate will be out of town until next Tuesday, which will mark the two-week mark since the government has been shut down. And President Trump heading to Walter Reed Medical Center today. The White House says it's a planned meeting with service members and to sit for a routine yearly checkup.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You know, I get these people who text me in suggestions for how to make transgressors better, and I hate it because I wish I could have incorporated it and thought of it myself. Somebody says, no, the Dookie Dome is the total underground reclamation depot.
Oh.
Turd.
That's good.
Y'all are the best. I love your sick, twisted minds. We'll be back in just a minute with the wrap.
News. I'm CJ Papa. The ceasefire in Gaza now in place. Displaced Palestinians in central Gaza walking north in the territory. A 72-hour window is now open for the next step, releasing the remaining 48 hostages. 20 are believed to be alive, including Amir Moran, his brother-in-law, Moshe Levy, earlier on Fox and Friends.
We're so hopeful that this is going to be carried out, but we're trying to be grounded in reality as much as possible because we've been disappointed time and again before.
The president set to travel to the region in the next few days. The president did not win this award today.
The Nobel Peace Prize for 2025 to Maria Corina Machado.
She's the opposition leader in Venezuela. White House comms director Stephen Chung posting on X earlier. The Nobel Committee proved they place politics over peace. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got cloudy skies, 65 degrees in Pensacola. Of course, we've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way in just a few minutes. Escambia County deputies say more than $100,000 worth of stolen items were recovered at a home in Cantonment. Deputies arrested four suspects after they raided a home on Amy Avenue.
Honestly, they're just a bunch of thieves. They were stealing anything and everything that they can get their hands on. We recovered everything from stolen motorcycles. There were a lot of lawn equipment that was recovered. It was a firearm that was recovered, and one individual was arrested for possession of that firearm by convicted felons. The value of the stolen property so far is well over $100,000.
Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, 34-year-old Colby Merrick was charged with felony possession of stolen property. 30-year-old Shelby Toddy, 41-year-old Terrell Disney, and 31-year-old Justin Odom were also at the home. They were all arrested on unrelated charges. An investigation is ongoing, and the sheriff's office says more arrests are possible in this case. The Sanger Theater's management team says they are paying close attention to the public sentiment regarding their drag queen Christmas show.
We respect that members of our community may hold differing views on performances scheduled at the venue, and we appreciate every person has taken the time to respectfully share their perspective regarding a drag queen Christmas. As the exclusive booker for the Sanger Theater, we remain committed to providing diverse programming and outstanding experiences for everyone who visits for years to come. Thank you.
Jeffrey Sharp addressing Pensacola City Council last night. He says they have sent the company that is running that show copies of relevant local obscenity laws. And he said if the show were to violate the laws, they could be held liable and the performers could even be arrested. Over a dozen speakers asking the city council to cancel that show last night. A handful of speakers, though, supporting the show's diversity and right to free speech. The issue's taken center stage at Pensacola City Council meetings for the last month or so. So far, the city has not taken any action, fearing legal action from the production company. Well, as the shutdown continues, our Northwest Florida military community knows they may not have a paycheck for a while. Navy Federal Credit Union is offering some assistance for eligible military members and federal employees. They're offering zero interest loans, which would be deposited in place of your normal paycheck, but you do have to enroll in time you have to enroll in that program specifically if you want to take advantage of it.
The member can apply at any time, and if they have up to 3 days to enroll after their scheduled pay that is missed, and we will, as long as they're eligible, we will provide that the loan amount that they are qualified for 3 days beyond their pay date.
That's Ann Rebzinski with Navy Fed, the VP of Digital Operations. She talked to News Radio yesterday and says anybody who's concerned about the shutdown and their personal finances can contact Navy Fed and look at their website for the options available to them. And also for military members and federal employees that bank with Penn Air Credit Union, they have a similar program available as well. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got cloudy skies and 68 degrees. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Got one accident on the books right now at West 10 Mile Road and Highway 29. It's off to the side of the road. Just seeing some minor delays going southbound on 29. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today, starting off with temperatures in the 60s. Highs today in the low 80s, plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Saturday, nice sunny skies, high near 82 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Going into Sunday, plenty of sunshine, high near 82 degrees. And by Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got cloudy skies. It is 68 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Your money now. Taking a look at our markets at the opening bell today. The Dow is up almost 200 points at 46,553.41. S&P up 15 and 3 quarter points at 6,750 and a half. NASDAQ up 45 points at 2374.14. Taking a look at the 10-year bond rate this morning, down slightly, 4.098%. Gold prices continue on the rise here. It's at $4,960 this morning. Silver is up right now, 137 at 48.49. I'm sorry. And looking at the crypto market today, Bitcoin up over 1,000 at 122.50. Ethereum's up 41.25 at 43.74. Solana's up 450. Dogecoin up about a tenth of a cent. XRP up by just under a dime. Taking a look at our financial headlines for today. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says he'll fire air traffic controllers that abuse sick leave during the government shutdown. He described them as problem children. Duffy said yesterday that if a small subset of controllers don't show up for work, they will be let go. Texas business leaders are reacting to a social media post from the president promising that big rigs made in Mexico will be subject to 25% tariffs soon.
We need to keep North America as tariff-free as possible. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is the most successful trade deal ever negotiated.
Glenn Hamer's the head of the Texas Association of Business. He's back from a trade mission that just went to Mexico. The U.S. has now finalized a $20 billion deal aimed at supporting Argentina's economy. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent posted on X yesterday saying the two countries have agreed on a $20 billion currency swap plan. The U.S. will purchase Argentine pesos, with Bessent pledging that the U.S. Treasury will work to maintain market stability. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
The hip, hop, the hip, hop, you don't stop. Rap,
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It means I have a couple of friends here in studio with me. We're going to talk about things of the week or whatever happens to come up. I never quite know where the conversation goes, and that's perfectly fine by me. Today we have a many times participant, Josh Newby, good friend, probably one of my best friends that I was in LEAP with, best class ever, 2016.
I would say best friend, not one of, but that's cool.
Okay, all right. not going to quibble.
Okay, great.
We fight about everything. I don't need that to fight about. Right. I have plenty of disagreements with you. David Baer, who is not in Leap with me. Just
I was
FY.
In best class 2000.
I never heard of it.
Quarter century
But
ago.
We did get to see his operation at Baer Distributing as part of our various things that we did for Leap, so that was good. He made a lot of envy out of me because I got to see where all of the Bourbon County and all of the other fine beverages from Goose Island were stored, and made me very, very envious. Attempted to commit a misdemeanor or worse.
We have cameras everywhere.
It's no good for me. David, well, and also who has been given what I think is the all-time best nickname by former president of UWF, Judy Bentz, who called him Chair Baer one time in the TDC meetings, which I think of as a Care Baer name for you, which was kind of your dad, though, before you.
Yes, she named my dad that when he was the chairman of UWF's board.
I kind
of
like that, Chair Baer.
I guess it's passed down.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're on a lot of boards, so there you go. Let's talk about, just because you and I, we were talking about this before we got on the air, and God, there's so much stuff going on, but the whole thing surrounding the funding of Jazz Fest, which, you know, Cadillac Banks for, what, 9 years, I think, something like that, has been running this and growing it, and in the beginning it was a very speculative, maybe this works, and now it's, of course, a very successful festival. And he comes and asks for, I think originally the ask was $250,000, mm-hmm. And you guys were split at the TDC. You chair that board. And, you know, basically the board voted no on the recommendation. And then it came before the county commission. And the county commission kind of at the last minute snuck it in the second budget meeting and said, Lumen May said, you know, $200,000. And then they wound up passing that altogether. A lot of controversy around this. I think, you know, probably Cadillac didn't do himself any favors by the demeanor he took at the TDC meeting. Got into a bit of a lip fight with, like, Charles Baer and some others. But, you know, emotions get high around money. Josh, you didn't love the process. I agree. I don't love the process.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said before we got on the air, Cadillac did what you're supposed to do, right? Which is round up your people, go to the county commission meeting, advocate for your cause. That's democracy in action.
Turn people out to the polls.
Yeah, that's right.
Or the forum, right.
You know, it happening at the second budget hearing, you know, whatever. But that's, I mean, he probably, I was there in person. He must have had 15 people speak.
Yeah.
And an additional probably 40 people just in the audience. And some very notable black people spoke on his behalf. I have nothing against Jazz Fest. I've personally never been. I don't really have anything against Cadillac Banks. But the process by which it got added into the budget, which was a motion made by Commissioner May, it seems a little off to me.
David,
personally.
You have a perspective. I know because you voted for it. You were in the losing side of the vote at the TDC.
I did. There were three of us, Jim Reeves, Shirley Cromley, and I voted in favor of it because we've watched the success of the event.
Yeah.
Every year, Cadillac has a visitor interface survey done to calculate an economic impact of the event. And every single year, that report comes back to show the success and the economic impact to the area. You know, there's different people who value they measure what they believe tourism development is. And some folks think it's nothing but heads and beds, but it is an economic impact. And there's more economic impact than just the heads and beds. But Cadillac has put on a successful event. He's respectful for the community when he does these events. And
he doesn't even sell alcohol.
He does not sell alcohol. He allows people to bring coolers. I've tried. Look, I'm in the alcohol industry, and I keep telling him.
You probably hate that part of it.
I don't, you know, I mean, if people want to bring their coolers, they bring their coolers. But I'm telling him there's another opportunity for revenue for him.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't want to take the risk, and he thinks let people do what they want to do. He just provides the entertainment, if you will. But he measures, you know, how many people are coming, how many tickets got sold, how many, you know, and they have the interface surveys done at the event, so they calculate how many room nights there are, how much people are spending in other areas, food, drink, shopping downtown, wherever they are. And every single year it shows that that's a successful event and it's developing tourism. Because he's bringing a lot of people here from outside the area.
Right. It's not. I mean, there are a lot of events in Pensacola. Like, I mean, the 4th of July fireworks. Yeah. Okay. Big, huge, successful event every year put on by Sertoma. But it's mostly, I assume without having data, but just based on my experience of it, it's mostly people here who come downtown to watch the fireworks, which is a great thing. But it's not tourism in that sense. It is tourism, but it's not the share of tourism.
Right.
That, like, the Jazz Fest is, like, I assume massively out of town. People.
A lot of people out of town.
Yeah.
He brings a lot of people here. And And, you know, as far as the process is concerned, so the TDC presented some policies to the county because there were a lot of people going directly to the county commission requesting funding without even coming from tourists, you know, the tourist development tax, without even coming through the TDC and our process. And so we put together a process. The county commission adopted it. And that process is, if you want funding through the Tourist Development Council tax for your program, you must come present. You have to submit an application and present to the TDC and give us the opportunity to recommend to the county commission funding or not.
And who makes the ultimate choice either way?
Who makes the ultimate choice? So obviously, Cadillac came to us, and the TDC voted it down. He has the right to then go to the county commission.
Right. It's an appeal, basically, because you are an advisory board, not a decision-making board.
Yes, exactly. And
the event is by all – I was thinking about this the other day. Force me to listen to country or jazz. Can I – third option?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like I'm neither, right? But I recognize it's a huge event, and people love it. And for the people who love it, I mean – wonderful. And if it brings people in and they spend money, then that's a good thing. I think Ashley, you know, Hofberger, one of the commissioners who voted against it, both at the TDC and at the council or at the commission meeting, she didn't feel like it generated the kind of money like you're talking about, the heads in beds. It doesn't pay for itself. It's too high a price per bed for room nights and all that kind of stuff. But as you say, there are more things than just that. And that's a philosophical matter. Do you only measure it like a business? Do you measure it in terms of broader economic impact? What about just the value of quality of life things, which is also valid as long as it's some, as long as it's mostly tourism, it can also be quality of life for the community, right?
Correct. And it's also diversifying our type of tourists that we're
right,
bringing here.
Right.
If we only depend on beach tourists who stay in hotels and then sit on the beach at our next oil spill, we will lose 100% of our tourists.
That's
and
true.
So when we're trying to diversify, that was one of the reasons I started Fufu Fest was to try to bring in a whole different audience so that if we have another natural disaster that nobody here can control, we don't lose our economy over it. I mean, that's a huge economic – tourism is a huge economic influence in our overall economy. And so a lot of jobs depend on it, a lot of people, and the ripple effect with the local option sales tax for our infrastructure needs, et cetera. And so we've got to continue to diversify, and Cadillac's doing a great job.
Just like, I mean, economic diversification, tourism diversification, all of these things make sense because otherwise you're vulnerable to a single setback. Yeah. Let's take a pause for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Back to rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, everything's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So I should know this, but you mentioned Fufu Fest. When does Fufu Fest start? It's soon.
Well, I'm not on the committee anymore, but it is soon. I think they start this year on October 30th.
Yeah, just, I'm looking it up right now. That's what it looks like, is through November 10th maybe. So,
yes, so
we've still October got a couple 30th. Of weeks. Sometimes it's been earlier in October, so I was not sure if it was right away. Is it normally?
Later. No, later. It's normally. We tried to do it the first Thursday in November.
Okay.
For 12 days through that following Monday. But
let's switch gears a little bit. The Charlie Kirk road naming, I have been vehemently opposed. Although I name an institute, give me debate coaching, do a monument. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do that would seem to fit for me. You know, I mean, even if you wanted to, like, you, I mean, even you could create a space on the campuses devoted to public discourse and have that commemoratively named in honor of him. That would make perfect sense to me. But just specifically UWF taking all of Campus Drive, which is really the only road on the school, and naming that after somebody who is, though I think a great person, very controversial, and same thing for Pensacola State College. It just seems so ham-fisted.
I think most universities, I know UWF does, have a free speech, like square
area
or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, area specifically for protests and such. But, I mean, I have been watching some of his stuff since he died, and I have found him to be a little bit more balanced and a little bit more compassionate than maybe his reputation.
Yeah, because the last time you were on, you said some of the you know, I think you were talking about him a little bit, and
I
think
some of his views are still atrocious, but I have found him to be a little bit more level-headed and welcoming of differing opinions than I initially thought.
You find some of my views to be atrocious.
Well, true, and likewise.
We're friends,
Mostly, best friends. But, I mean, that's what universities are supposed to be for, and to Charlie Kirk's credit, he sort of brought that back to universities, having, you know, controversial topics able to be aired and discussed. But naming a road after him, I mean, you know, what are we doing here? you know, I mean, the same. You don't want to name a road after, you know, James Madison or
right, Thomas Jefferson,
someone like
or
that.
Free Speech Drive,
Thomas
or something.
Hobbes. Yeah. There's so many people.
Oh yeah, let's go with Thomas Hobbes.
Like
Plato,
Thomas Hobbes.
Boulevard.
I mean,
you know,
why not?
The Socratic,
so the
Socratic way.
That's,
you know,
right.
We could have it, David.
I don't even know what these guys are talking about. So obviously last week, my family celebrated the Florida legislature naming the south end of 9th Avenue after my father.
Wonderful.
So,
and congratulations both on that and to your mom getting award at the state level.
Thank you.
Amazing.
I bring that up because my dad grew up here in Pensacola, and his life work was the Lewis Bear Company and our family business, but his community. He spent his life trying to grow this community. What is the connection? Obviously, Charlie Kirk spoke at all these different universities and that because he was trying to appeal to that demographic, the college age, and try to, because he started his, I guess, career, if you will, as a young kid doing this. And you know, whether you like what he said or you don't like what he said, he had the right to say it.
Right.
And I 100% support his right to say it. But do I believe we need to name a street at every university in the state and state college? No, absolutely not. I don't think that, I don't think it's appropriate. Charlie Kirk had nothing to do with the city of Pensacola. He had nothing to do with the University of West Florida or the Pensacola State College. Why would we name a street after him?
Now, the flip side, the argument that's being made, because I've talked with Alex Andrade a little bit about this, is, you know, first of all, the state owns the college campuses, and the state can name what they want to name. Now, there's a little bit hinky in the way this bill is written to force the Board of Trustees to create it. Otherwise, they're going to deprive them of funding, which is a little wonky, maybe not even legal. We'll see if you can leverage money against them making it. I don't know, but that's its own conversation. But also, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. has a road in every street in America basically named after him. And, you know, that some called immediately upon his assassination for that. It took many years for things like the Memorial Holiday and so forth. And, you know, nobody really thinks that's a bad thing. My answer to that is, okay, but if each individual city wants to do that, or in this case, if each individual university, the Board of Trustees have a conversation and they make that decision, you know, I might disagree with it, but that would be a very different thing from the state imposing it on all 40 at the same time.
You know what our Rep Andrade did was sponsor a billboard on
airport
honoring Charlie Kirk.
Great.
Go for it. And if Kevin Steele feels that strongly about this, then I think he should put his money where his mouth is and sponsor some billboards in his district.
He should pay for some advertising. You know?
Go for it. Yeah. I mean, better that than the $1 million it's going to take to rename roads
just
and signs. And just the UWF.
Light,
I mean, millions upon millions. And we hear every day about how the state budget is in shambles.
I will say this. I think I fear this discussion is primarily going to devolve into a Charlie Kirk was great or Charlie Kirk was horrible.
Yes.
Instead of even if he was great, even if he was to be emulated, even if he represented good things, which I certainly believe, does that even then justify it? It's like in debate, we always say you grant your opponent their premises and then see if it still leads where they want it to go. And if it doesn't, focus there, because otherwise it's going to get characterized as, well, all these liberals, you know, or all these haters or all these liars or whatever. And that's not productive for us either. So,
what I don't like about it is the mandate. Do we support home rule or do we not home rule?
Right. Well, the answer.
I mean, clearly this legislature values home rule.
You
David.
Act like that's still an open question. I mean, come on. Come on, David. You know better.
No, well, we need to keep asking.
History has never valued.
But it's. But as conservatives,
until it's their home rule that they're worried
right,
about.
That's
right. But I mean, you know, David, you're a prominent conservative. Josh, you're very liberal, but we all agree, you know, I'm a conservative, we all agree with the principle of home rule as much as it can be done. And you really have to ask the question is, should cities and counties be able to make, you know, to rule in a way that the local commissioner, the local city council member is responsible for looking people in the eye at Publix and justifying their decisions?
Right.
And we're not. I mean, we are again and again and again not doing that in the state of Florida. And I find that frustrating as a conservative who I might hate the way the Pensacola City Council or Milton City Council votes, but I want them to be empowered to make the vote.
Right.
Because they're the ones whose citizens have to deal with the consequences and can vote them out of office if they don't like it. You know, what kind of power do I have over the governor?
Right.
I'm one vote for a guy who's term limited, right? You know, and I probably still vote for him even so, but I'm seeing this kind of problem crop up again and again. The Sanger Theater. Are you surprised that this still has the massive and growing traction that it does, or are you not surprised?
I'm not surprised.
You're not surprised?
I'm not surprised at all.
I actually am, but I'm naive. I'm naive enough to think that I can go on the radio and say, but y'all know what the First Amendment says, right? And look at the contract, and like, I know you hate it, but we can
Bible
be done here.
Belt.
I know, and I'm in that group. I'm in that camp. But
we can talk about it as being the Bible Belt. But when I was in college, I went to the University of Hartford in Connecticut one year, and the museum there was hosting an exhibit of Robert Mapplethorpe.
Okay.
And if you're not familiar with his work, he's
very
done some
graphic, sexual.
Some of it very graphic.
Very graphic.
And there were protests all around the city.
Right.
There were protests all over the country because it was a traveling exhibit. And this is the exact same thing. We're just talking about 35 years later, hearing the same concerns from the same people,
right,
just in a different geography.
Right.
We may be the Bible Belt, but it's the same people with the same argument. And the question goes back to, really, is art in the eye of the beholder? And what is your standard for that? And so people think their standard should be higher than, you know, my standard is higher than yours. But the truth is, I like certain things, you like certain things, and it's art. And people think it's an abomination and not art, but mm-hmm. art is art. And these are performances. And who cares? How is it affecting my life?
And there, I mean
art
the opponents, we'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has less traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So the argument from the other side is, A, if you look at least a past performance, there was some extraordinarily vulgar obscenity practiced. And we do have prohibitions on that. There are obscenity laws, which are different. And also the venue in which you're, if somebody gets naked, is a strip club, is that a violation of the, I mean, there are questions. I generally agree with you, David. I think that art is often offensive, upsetting, disturbing.
Purposely so.
Right. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
But some of the best art does that because that makes you question your own reaction to it. It's to provoke a reaction or to evoke a reaction, and then you have to think about, well, why does it create that reaction? But there are lines, and overpass that line, I don't think it should be shown. They're pretty hard to prove to me that that's a line, but still, those lines do exist.
I mean, there are few rights that extend as far in this country as free speech and artistic expression and political expression, which I think this performance is all of those. And in your transgressor service, you know, you brought up the James Bond controversy.
Censoring of the guns.
And the same people who would kvetch endlessly about these snowflakes who need guns removed from a James Bond poster are similarly up in arms about something that is a ticketed 18-plus event that is, by all definitions, art. Subversive art, sure, but
Maybe blasphemous, obnoxious, disturbing, and okay, that's all protected.
Okay, good. Start a conversation about it, and I welcome them to come to City Council. I've enjoyed the conversation, though I've disagreed with it, and that's what art should do, is spur what is appropriate, what is not appropriate, why, et cetera.
And, you know, one of the things I actually listened to James C. Johnson, who, of course, does ads on our show, and I've talked with him, and I consider him a friend. He's been one of the leading opponents of this show. And he did a whole sermon at his church on the subject, and I listened to it. And one of the things he said in the sermon that I loved was, I disagreed with a lot of it, but what he said towards the end is he gets through, here's why this is wrong, and here's why the city council is not doing their job. I agree with the first part. I disagree with the second part. But then he gets to the end, and it's like, so what should we do now? And he said, the first thing we should do is pray. And I thought he was going to say, you know, we should pray for success, or maybe we should pray to purify our own motives, all of which I agree with. But he said, no, we should pray for the performers. We should love them. We should care about them. Because if we're doing this for our own moral sensibilities, then we're missing the point. What we should be doing is caring about the souls of every single person, because every person is loved by God and we should pray for them. And I'm like, well done. Say that at City Council.
Yeah.
I mean, people will be more, you know, they'll hear that more. And maybe he did last night. I didn't watch the meeting yesterday.
What you want the church to be known for in Northwest Florida? Is this the gospel?
Is it the most poignant, compelling, reaching the lost thing we can do?
Or does it drive people away? Is it a cudgel against those who have already
decided, and that's unfortunately the way that it looks.
Right.
And maybe is. So By the way, David, I love what you do for art, you know, for Foo Foo Fest and all that. And so,
thank you. Just trying to give people the opportunity present art, and enjoy.
Look, art is not always just pretty colors. You know, art is not always just Monet's water lilies. Art is challenging and also water lilies. I mean, it can be both.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
President Trump is about to go see a doctor. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. He'll soon head to Walter Reed Medical Center.
When he goes for what he is describing as a semi-annual physical, the president says there's nothing to worry about health-wise.
And Fox's Peter Ducey reports from the White House the president will also meet with some U.S. troops at Walter Reed, while others will be deployed to Israel.